This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, good morning, everyone. 2 hours in, 1 hour to go. Evan Giddings rolling solo with Stephen Rizzotto here on a weekend. Warriors This Week every single Saturday from 9 to noon here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, Pasta. Warriors are taking on the Knicks tonight at 5:30. Warriors live at 4:30, all right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. But now, it's time to go out to the River Islands guest line. I've been hyping this guy up all show, and for good reason. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Sam Gordon, Warriors beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, is kind enough to join us now. Sam, what's going on? Good morning.
Evan, good morning. Happy Saturday. Appreciate you having me. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm looking forward to tonight. Obviously, a nationally televised game matchup with the Knicks and kind of a three-game stretch that should be a tough test for the Warriors, even with Jalen Brunson inactive. But before we get into that, I do want to ask you, because you've been as tapped into this team as anyone in the Bay Area. You've been on road trips. You've been behind the scenes. You've seen both the valleys of this year, and now it appears to be the peak as they've won 11 games in a row with Jimmy Butler on the floor. What do you think has been, I don't know if it's the biggest difference or the biggest impact, but just from your vantage point, how have the Warriors just been able to spin this season on its head? Has it been all Jimmy?
He's undoubtedly played, I think, you know, the biggest part of it, right? And just being somebody else that you can run offense through, that can bend a defense and affect the geometry of the floor, that can create advantage basketball, right? We understand Steph Curry is the best in the NBA at doing that with the schemes and the defensive attention he catches. But for most of the season, right, until Jimmy Butler arrived, teams could throw the kitchen sink at Steph Curry, and for the most part, the Warriors couldn't make them pay. Now you add Jimmy Butler into the fold, balances Steph Curry's perimeter production more so in the paint, can work out of the low post, gives him an option to score out of the low post, a secondary playmaker, even kind of a co-primary playmaker along with Steph Curry. And then, you know, the residual effects of adding a Jimmy Butler, adding somebody of his magnitude, now everybody else is playing in more space, is playing against defenses that are in rotation constantly. Now your offense is more efficient. Other teams are picking the ball out of the net, having to walk the ball up the floor. You're able to set your defense. It all works together. So Moses Moody's been fantastic with Jimmy Butler. I mean, everybody, right? Brandon Podziemski,
yeah.
Jonathan Kuminga spectacular the other night in his return. Quinton Post, Gee Santos, Gary Payton II, Draymond Green. It goes on and on. The team has found its collective groove, playing great two-way basketball, and, you know, having another player, right, besides Stephen Curry, creating advantages offensively, lubricating the offense with his passing. You're seeing 0.5 Golden State Warriors basketball these last 15 games, and then defensively, really cohesive team defense that's been steady as well. So, yeah, his individual production, but his presence and what his presence means for everybody else on this team, yeah, as you mentioned, has completely changed things. And lo and behold, the Warriors have won 13 of 15 and look like one of the better teams in the NBA right now.
Absolutely. Well said. Sam Gordon with us here on the River Islands guest line, covers the Golden State Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, Raymond Ritter, president of communications for the Golden State Warriors, told us earlier this week, is it true that you sat down with Jimmy Butler for a one-on-one during the last road trip?
Absolutely. Yep, at the team hotel in New York City.
Well, I wonder if you could tell our listeners just what you, and I know it's, you know, you're not the guy's best friend or anything, but in that one-on-one sit-down, and not many people have had a chance to talk to Jimmy one-on-one since he's gotten to Golden State, what did you learn from that conversation about basically the catalyst to, like you said, this 13-2 stretch?
All about winning for Jimmy Butler. All about winning, 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 winning. And he loves that about the Warriors. That's been the identity of the organization the last 10, 11 years. And that's what he has come in to do. There's no ego. Everybody plays their part. It's a selfless organization. There's total buy-in from everybody. And he's definitely excited to be a part of an organization that has those kind of values. And, you know, talked about just kind of the family atmosphere that the Warriors foster and how vital and how, you know, warming that's been for him. Something else that Draymond Green talked about post-game the other night, too, about how, you know, that Steve Kerr has played a massive part in the family atmosphere that the Warriors have. But I glean just in those 15 minutes, he's incredibly strong-willed. He's himself 100% of the time, and that's worked for him, right? That's how he got to this point, was the iron will that he's had in himself and his abilities at the highest level. And he's, you know, he's having a blast incorporating that, with the Warriors and into the Warriors, into their locker room. So, beyond that, obviously very worldly, has a lot of interest beyond basketball. Of course, he's a coffee connoisseur. He's a wine connoisseur. He's incredibly well traveled, definitely enjoys the fruits of his labor, but they don't keep him from keeping the main thing. And that's winning. That's pursuing a championship. Just about the only thing that's eluded him in his 14-year career. He has the individual accolades. He has the all-star appearances, all NBA. He's been to the finals twice, but now he wants to win a championship. And I think, again, watching the Warriors play, seeing how he's fit in, how seamless it's been, his approach, it backs up what he says. It's not about statistics for Jimmy Butler. It never has been. And certainly the statistics aren't necessarily always glamorous, but the impact is always conspicuous that he makes on a game. You know, seeing these last 14, 15 games, the savvy he plays with, the understanding of positioning, where he is on the floor relative to his teammates, their strengths, his strengths, how they blend together, it's been on display. So he's having a blast. He loves being a part of the Warriors culture. And the Warriors have welcomed him with open arms. It's been a seamless fit, an excellent transition. And now 16 more games, right, with Jonathan Kuminga in the fold to kind of figure out what this thing looks like, iron out any kinks, and get this thing ready for a potential postseason run.
Sam Gordon joining us, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, covers the Golden State Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. I do want to get to Kuminga, but you mentioned something about how Jimmy doesn't care about stats, and I think that the Sacramento game was like Exhibit A. I mean, he took 5 shots and 6 points. It was almost like a Draymond Green line. Man, so we've been trying to figure out here, because I think the closest thing to say, I don't know, a Jimmy game would have been against the Pistons, where he kind of took over that stretch in the third quarter. He scored 26 points, but you know, I know we haven't seen one yet, and everyone still is waiting, I guess. Like, to you, what does the Jimmy Butler game look like?
Oh, that's a tremendous question. The Jimmy Butler game looks like whatever the situation calls for, right? And that he is one of the unique players. There's not many of them in the NBA, but he can kind of shape-shift and adapt his style of play to whatever the game calls for, right? You need him to go get, you need him to get physical and get to the free throw line and slow things down and use his physicality and his savvy to go get 30. Okay, he can do that, right? You need him to run your offense to kind of be the point forward, so to speak, and get 10, 15 assists. Okay, he can do that. You need him to anchor a defense from the back line right next to Draymond Green. You need him if his shot's not falling, you need him to defend. Okay, no problem. He can do that. And then, of course, if you need him to get on the glass, he's a great rebounder. Whatever the game calls for. I mean, that's been his MO his entire career. The Warriors haven't relied on him. They haven't required his offense. They haven't required him, you know, like you mentioned, Evan, say for the Detroit game, for him to go out there and kind of press the issue and look for his shot. But he can do it. I mean, we're talking about somebody that outplayed LeBron James in finals games, right? Mm-hmm. There's a very short list of players who have done that. Well, the Warriors have a couple of them now. So whatever the game, whatever the situation calls for, he's shown throughout the course of his career he can adapt to that. He's done that so far with the Warriors. The Warriors haven't called on him to put up gaudy statistics or to have a big offensive game. But when it's demanded, when it's required, he can get to the line. He can attack the basket. He can score from the perimeter. He's got a great mid-range game. He's a streaky three-point shooter, but he's made plenty of big ones. So he is truly one of the versatile, you know, the most versatile kind of formless, shape-shifting players that are in the NBA today. And when the Jimmy game comes, when it has to come, you know, imagine, you know, play-in, postseason, whatever that looks like, things slow down. It gets physical. It's time to battle in the trenches. He's more than cut out for that kind of game, and he can do a little bit of everything in those spots.
Sam Gordon with us on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. Yeah, I think it's it feels like if you ask Jimmy what a Jimmy game is, he would just tell you it's a win. Like, that's what the Jimmy game looks like.
100%.
It's a win. And the Warriors have been doing a lot of that lately. And I think the last kind of, I don't know if it's puzzle piece. I mean, Pajemski's obviously going to be out tonight against the Knicks. They're not whole yet, but they took a step closer in that direction when they played the Kings by getting Jonathan Kuminga back. And I wasn't necessarily shocked at how, I don't know, quickly or efficiently he was able to score. I don't think the Kings are a team that has a lot of interior presence, and especially without Sabonis, was not whole themselves. But where do you feel like Kuminga fits in this group? Because a lot of people have made a big deal about, well, you know, you don't want to mess up the chemistry. You don't want to mess with the good vibes that are going. I didn't necessarily look at it like that. I felt like it was going to be gravy for this team, but how do you see Kuminga fitting in, and were you impressed with his initial performance against Zach?
Yeah, Devin, absolutely. I was impressed. He fit like a glove. He fit in like exactly how he fit in the six games prior to the January 4th ankle sprain against the Memphis Grizzlies. And let's go back a little bit, right? There was a game that the Warriors lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I actually think they won. They beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. Steph was tremendous late in the game closing. But it was a kind of a hard-fought fourth quarter, and Kuminga took a couple contested early shot clock mid-range jumpers in the second half that weren't great shot selections, not the kind of shots the Warriors are going to play for. And that's not because Steve Kerr is totally against mid-range shots. It's the quality of shot. It's the rhythm of the shot. It's where it comes in the flow of the offense. And these were jumpers that were not in the flow of the offense. And without name-dropping them in his post-game press conference, Kerr, you know, was critical of the shot selection, and he talked about the need to play .5 basketball when you're playing with Steph Curry, how keeping the ball moving, quick decision-making is ultimately what lubricates and what maximizes the Warriors' offense and what maximizes Curry. And in those six games after that, I mean, Kuminga got the memo. Everything was quick decision. He was attacking the basket, screening, cutting. When he wasn't, when he didn't have anything going, he got off the ball and made something happen for a teammate. And lo and behold, averages almost 25 a game, 10 free throw attempts, 8 rebounds, playing .5 basketball within the flow of Golden State's offense. Well, now that offense is a lot better because you have Jimmy Butler. You have another player creating space for Jonathan Kuminga to read and react to. And that's exactly what he did on Thursday against the Kings. Everything was quick. It was within the flow. Even, you know, his load up dribbles and gathers, he wasn't playing with the basketball. He had a point to make in terms of where he wanted to get to with it. And he got there and he finished. And when he was off the ball, he was moving. You saw what he was able to do in transition. That first three pointer that Steph Curry made, 3,999. Well, that was off Jonathan Kuminga's force in transition, driving and kicking to Curry in the corner. So there's no doubt in my mind that in order for this team to maximize its upside, Jonathan Kuminga is going to have to be a part of it. And I'm with you. Just with how well the Warriors were playing and with what he showed in terms of how he can fit and how he can adjust and start fitting into more of read and react principles, applying those, I would expect him only to get more and more comfortable playing off of, again, a second guy now that's drawing defensive attention, that's bending a defense. The ball is popping around. Guys are making shots. Quentin Post now to pair with him in the front court, opening up space. He was an absolutely perfect fit on Thursday. And then, again, I think they're going to, conversely, on the defensive side of the ball, I think the 6'7", 6'8", big physical athletic wing, he's going to be really important to what they do on that end in any kind of postseason play, given the dominant perimeter wing, bigger wing scorers that are in the NBA that often decide postseason games. So there's no reason, seeing how well everybody else has fit around Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry and Draymond Green in this kind of new iteration of the Warriors, no reason to think Kuminga wouldn't fit how he did on Thursday, and no reason to think that wouldn't continue. They add an explosive, forceful driver that can play, read, and react, and that can give them a dynamic that they don't have with his above-the-rim play, with his explosiveness, and with his ability that I think the Warriors are going to really need to lean on to physically match top wings in the postseason.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. My question was, if everyone else has gotten better around Jimmy, like why would Kuminga be the exception? I'm totally with you, Sam. And Sam Gordon is joining us from the San Francisco Chronicle, covers the Golden State Warriors right here on 95.7 The Game. You know, you mentioned some of those better players, some of the better wings. Well, they're going to see a few of them beginning tonight with the New York Knicks, and the final of the four games of this homestand, I think, minus Toronto, are going to give us a little bit better of an idea of just how good this Warriors team is. You get the back-to-back against Denver and Milwaukee on the tail end of this. You know, for you, is there something that you feel like we have not yet seen? And is it just them playing, I don't know, maybe an elite team, in my opinion, like the Denver Nuggets? You know, what would be, I guess, what are you looking for over these next three games against some top-tier competition? What do you think the Warriors can prove?
Well, it's great that you bring that up, right? Because that is the caveat. The Warriors haven't seen the kind of teams yet that they're going to have to see in order to get to, to reach their ultimate goal of winning a championship. So while 13-2 is excellent, you know, top second net rating in that time, top five offense, defense, all those things, been a lot against a lot of teams that have been banged up and quite frankly, just not a lot of top tier competition. So yeah. I'm looking to see, Denver, Milwaukee, these are, you're talking about Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo, champions, bona fide champions in the primes of their careers, that are going to have something to say, in their respective conferences about how this postseason goes. So, and then, you know, the Warriors, again, the small ball has been the strength of this team for a long time. They have certainly leaned into the small ball, grouping since acquiring Jimmy Butler, but Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo are challenging matchups, even if you have all the size in the world. Mm-hmm. So kind of seeing how the Warriors handle and defend and just kind of what that looks like against some interior threats, some teams with some championship pedigree, some teams that, you know, think that they can come out of their respective conferences. How do the Warriors respond to those games? Yeah, just kind of seeing what a step up in class looks like. The Warriors, for as well as they've been playing, have been, you know, I think pretty intentional about tempering everything, that they're, this is a build to the postseason, that there's other levels and other gears that they have to get to in order to truly contend for a championship. And obviously they understand what that looks like. So, yeah, huge three-game stretch. Even though the Knicks are without Brunson tonight, they got a big win in Portland the other night. I think they have Mikal Bridges, certainly a capable scorer on the wing. Karl Anthony Towns, another elite big man that the Warriors are going to see tonight. So stepping up in class and competition is good at this juncture of the season. It's going to give the Warriors a better feel of where they need to tighten up these last 16 games, and also an opportunity to give different lineups different looks depending on personnel that the opposing teams have. So you can get as much information as you can on how you match up against some of these players for the next 16 games, so you have an idea of what the postseason rotations and whatnot are going to look like.
No doubt. I'm 100% with you, Sam, and I really appreciate your time. I look forward to seeing you later tonight at Chase Center, and I really appreciate, again, you coming on and helping our listeners out.
Anytime, Evan. Can't wait for the game tonight, the next two after that. And they're all big ones from here on out, right? We've seen how that Western Conference looks. The playoffs are going to be fascinating, and it definitely feels like the Warriors are going to have something to say about them. So I'll see you, Chase, and very much appreciate you having me.
Right on, Sam. Take it easy. All right, that's Sam Gordon of the San Francisco Chronicle joining us courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. A lot of good stuff from Sam. I mean, you could hear just how tapped in he is. And again, I wanted to bring him on in particular, you know, for those that didn't catch the beginning of the interview, you can use the Rewind app on the Odyssey app. You can go on YouTube and Twitch and Rewind as well. But he sat down for 15 minutes one-on-one with Jimmy Butler. So he got an opportunity that not a lot of people get, especially for someone that I think Jimmy's a pretty private dude. I think he seems like someone that, I don't know if it's mercurial is the word, but he's a reserved personality. He's got different interests, as Sam mentioned. I thought it was really cool just to learn a little bit more about Jimmy the guy. In addition to what I think it's just, it's been so much fun to see how simple he makes the game. Like, the way that I'm watching the Warriors right now, it doesn't feel like things are being overthought. And, for example, the last two games for, you know, Portland and Sacramento, they won. I've done pre- and post-game for both of them. And we have a segment called Your Take It to the Bank Prediction, brought to you by Fremont Bank. It's not that I'm Nostradamus, but because the team is playing such simplified basketball, I just think it makes it a lot easier to know what to expect. Last game, I felt like they were going to handle the Kings. I thought they were actually going to have a little bit of trouble against Portland, but that was more so because of how they'd been playing the couple of games before. But I felt like Kuminga was going to be able to step right back in and have a big role. You know, give me the over on his points. And I'll save my prediction for later tonight for Warriors Live, beginning at 4:30 for the 5:30 tip against the Knicks. But it's not that I'm any smarter as a basketball mind, or people that are watching are any smarter. It's that this team is now predictable in a good way, in a positive way. And I think it's because, like, Sam used the word lubricate to talk about the offense. You know, and I think people are probably going to have some fun with that. But it reminds me of, like, Jimmy Butler is an oil change for the Golden State Warriors. That's essentially what he is. He's gotten this team to the point where, all right, you know, drain out the old engine, the used engine oil, replace it with some fresh, clean oil, new oil filter, engine lubricating, the performance is going to be awesome. All of these different working parts in your car can be fixed or aided or helped by an oil change. It's not anything that's that, like, everyone's got to get an oil change, however many thousand miles. You got to put work into your car. And sometimes you just need a little more oil, some fresh oil. That's what Jimmy Butler was. You know, I don't think he was anything spectacular, right? But he seems to be the correct piece for this team. Again, as a player, I feel like Kevin Durant's going to go down as a better all-time player than Jimmy Butler. He has been a better player than Jimmy Butler over the course of his career. But for this particular moment, Jimmy was the guy. And I don't know if the Warriors got lucky, if they meant for this to happen all along, even when they were swinging and missing on Paul George and Lauri Markkanen. You know, everyone that wanted the Warriors to make a trade, go out there and make a move. It's like, yes, I think we all wanted them to do something, but they had to do the right thing. And that's why the timing of this is interesting to me, too, because I don't know if the Warriors knew that Jimmy was going to be able to do this. When they got that oil change on February 6th or February 8th at the deadline, I don't think they knew that this car was going to turn back into a car that it looked like it was a 200,000-mile Ferrari. And he's almost been able to, you know, like in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I don't know if you've seen this movie, Steven. But in the movie, Ferris Bueller and Cameron and Ferris Bueller's girlfriend, they take this car out for a joyride, right? They want to take Cameron's dad's car, and Cameron is worried that the mileage is going to display something that will let his father know that they've taken out the car, because it's his baby. So what they do is they try and roll the car in reverse. Like, they just put it in reverse, and that way, in their minds, in their high school minds, the mileage is going to dial back to whatever the original number is. And of course it doesn't work, because that's not the way that cars work. But in a way, Jimmy Butler has accomplished for the Warriors what Ferris Bueller could not accomplish for his friend Cameron, which is dialing back the miles of a Ferrari. And he has gotten them to the point where, yeah, you could take it out for a little joy route around Chicago. You could take it for a trip around the Midwest. You could take it cross country, because it feels like Jimmy Butler has been the oil change that can revert this Ferrari's mileage back to, I don't know, 100,000 or something like that. It's just, it did not make any sense to me when it happened, but because of how simple the game has been since he's gotten here, granted against some lesser competition, it just feels easy to predict, or easier to predict. And that's been another reason that I've really enjoyed watching this team, is they play simple basketball. Now, Sam also mentioned something about Jimmy Butler in regards to the younger players, specifically Kuminga, that I want to dig into when we come back here on Warriors This Week. Evan Giddings flying solo, along with Steven Rizzotto. And on 95.7 The Game, we'll talk to you after the break. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get into the conversation. Big thank you to Sam Gordon of the San Francisco Chronicle. More coming up next on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.